So if you look at Jeremiah chapter 38, verse number 6, it begins by saying, "Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamelech, which was in the court of the prison." The title for the sermon this morning is Jeremiah Locked Down. Jeremiah Locked Down. Hey, I think it's great timing. We find Jeremiah in prison. And if you remember Jeremiah chapter 37, he actually gets arrested and thrown into the dungeon. You know, you could look at that as being completely locked down. He's got no freedoms. And then he's pulled out of the dungeon by King Zedekiah, and then he's thrown into, again, back into prison, but into the court of the prison. So he's still restricted. He's got the restrictions, but he's got a lot more freedom. Okay, now what we'll find in this chapter is, once again, he gets taken and thrown into the dungeon. Okay, so he's completely locked down. And then he gets released once again by King Zedekiah. He gets completely released. And then he gets thrown once again into the court of the prison. So he's facing restrictions again. So we see this thing playing out for Jeremiah. Very inconsistent for his life. The dungeon, released, in prison. Dungeon, released, prison. You see this playing out in his life. And I kind of think about that's the situation we're in right now in Sydney, right? We're in complete lockdown, as it were, in the dungeon. And then we have other times where we've, you know, in the past, you know, a few months, we've been under restrictions. And then there's been other times we've had almost complete freedom. So I think this is a great time to look at this passage. I love how God times things so well many times in our lives. But let's start there in Jeremiah chapter 38, verse number 1. So we want to see how Jeremiah responds to being locked down, right? So Jeremiah 38 and verse number 1, it begins by saying, "Then Shephatiah, the son of Matan, and Jedaliah, the son of Pesha, and Jukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Pesha, the son of Malchiah, heard the words that Jeremiah had spoken unto all the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, He that remaineth in this city," remember that city is Jerusalem, "shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. But he that go forth to the Chaldeans shall live, for he shall have his life for a prey, and shall live." Now the timing for this chapter, Jeremiah 38, we're very, very close now. Very close to the Chaldeans or the Babylonians from taking over the city, taking the captives away into Babylon and turning, you know, destroying the city by fire and the house of the Lord by fire. We're very close to the end of that period now, okay? Now, you have these men who are these princes, and they've been hearing Jeremiah preaching once again. What is Jeremiah preaching? He's preaching a very unpopular sermon, right? So again, remind yourselves, we have a foreign power, we have a wicked government, we have wicked Nebuchadnezzar, and the wicked Chaldeans, the wicked Babylonians, worshipping some false god. They're coming and basically taking over the land of Judah. They're taking over Jerusalem. They're taking people into captivity. They're going to war. And during this whole time, not only is there sword, not only is there warfare, there's famine, there's pestilence, there's a lot of death taking place in the land of Judah at this point in time. And, you know, you have King Zedekiah, who's basically stubborn and rebellious. King Zedekiah, the last king of Judah, who doesn't want to surrender to King Nebuchadnezzar. And that's his point. Like, he's trying to, you know, "No, we're going to be strong. We're going to rebel. We're going to be stubborn. We're going to fight this foreign power. We're going to fight this wicked power." And then you have Jeremiah that says, "Hey, guys, surrender. You know, God's allowed this foreign power to be put in place. Surrender. Give your life to the Chaldeans. And if you give your life over to the Chaldeans, you surrender, then you're going to live. Otherwise, you're going to die." And so this is a very unpopular sermon by Jeremiah. And you know what? Since I've come down to Sydney, I've been saying the same thing to this church and to other people that inquire of me. You know, do we obey the government? Do we rebel? Do we fight them? You know what? Surrender. Submit yourself to the government. God has allowed that power to come into place. And you know what? It's an unpopular sermon. It's unpopular preaching. So what? Who cares? You know, my job is to preach God's word, and I'm here to cause you to live. I want you to live. You know, I don't want you to die. I don't want you to die unnecessarily. I don't want you to suffer unnecessarily. But hey, this is the preaching of Jeremiah. This is my preaching to this church since I've been down here in Sydney. And, you know, again, it's extremely unpopular, but I trust that you want to hear from God's word. You don't want to hear what's popular. You don't want to hear what the flesh wants to hear. You don't want to hear from a conspiratorial perspective. You want to hear from God's word, how we ought to behave in a situation where we have a wicked government putting us down into lockdown, you know, putting restrictions on us, taking away our freedoms, taking away our rights. You know, the natural response is we need to fight this. Well, we're going to have a look at this chapter. You'll see that God allows these things to happen for his purposes, okay? Let's keep going. Verse number 3. "Thus saith the Lord, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it. Now, I want you to keep your finger there. Go to Daniel chapter 2 and verse number 20. So the Lord is saying this will surely happen. This land, this city is going to be given into Babylon's army. Okay? Go to Daniel chapter 2 for me. Daniel chapter 2 and verse number 20. Daniel 2 verse 20. And as it said there in Jeremiah, that the city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army. So Judah, Jerusalem, God's people, God's house, wicked people in the land of Judah, hey, even believers in the land of Judah, they're being given into the hand of Babylon. So who is given this? Who is the one that's allowing these things to happen? I already kind of spoke to you, but we want to turn to Daniel chapter 2. And what's great about turning to the book of Daniel is because Daniel was one of these believers. He was a saved man, obviously, a great man, a faithful man of God. He's one of these individuals that was taken into captivity by the Babylonians, okay? And look what Daniel writes here in Daniel 2:20, Daniel 2, chapter 20. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his." Look at verse number 21. "And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." So, brethren, who is it that sets up kings and removes kings? Who is it that sets up governments and removes governments? It's the Lord God, all right? And you can see here, Daniel, he's taken into captivity. He loses his rights. He loses his freedoms. He loses his house back in Judah. He gets taken into captivity. And you know what he says? He says, "Blessed is the Lord." That's his response. "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever." That's the response from Daniel, okay? Unfortunately, as Christians, you know, we're facing restrictions. We're not even being taken into captivity. We're not even losing our homes. And we whine and we complain and we murmur. And I understand where that's coming from because I want to naturally do that. I naturally want to whine and complain and murmur, okay? But we look at a great man like Daniel, taken into captivity, he just blesses the Lord. "Thank you, Lord." You know, he's praising the Lord no matter what situation he finds himself in. And brethren, we're starting a lockdown here in Sydney for 2 weeks. I want to make sure your heart is right. Are you able to bless the Lord? "Lord, thank you for the lockdown. Thank you for raising kings and taking down kings. Thank you for, you know, the nation that I live in and the situation we find ourselves in. Lord, thank you for the live stream that we can at least listen to God's word. We can still bless and praise God, you know, through the live stream method at this point in time." You know, we need to think about things in a positive light. We need to thank God no matter what situation we find ourselves in. But back to Daniel 38, verse number 4, please. Daniel 38, verse number 4. "Therefore the princes," so they're the ones that have heard the preaching of Jeremiah, "therefore the princes said unto the king, we beseech thee, let this man be put to death." Did they like Jeremiah's preaching? No. Okay. Are there some of you that's not going to like my preaching this morning? No. I hope no one desires to kill me though. Okay. They wanted to kill Jeremiah, right? It says, "Let this man be put to death, for thus he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in this city, and the hands of all the people, in speaking such words unto them." Notice what they say to them. What they say about Jeremiah. "For this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the hurts." So these princes are saying to the king, to King Zedekiah, "Listen, if people are listening to Jeremiah's preaching, they're not going to want to fight the war. They're not going to want to go to battle against the Babylonians. You know, Jeremiah's weakening the people." No, Jeremiah's just preaching God's word. He wants to strengthen the people. He wants to strengthen the people, not against the Babylonians. He wants to strengthen the people toward the Lord, right? To do what the Lord has asked them to do. That they would live, that they would survive, that they would go into captivity, and God will be able to use them in their subsequent generations to one day return back into the land, to, you know, come back into Judah, reestablish the temple, worship God, and get prepared for the coming of the Messiah some 400 years later after the captivity period, okay? So what we see here is that people are claiming that Jeremiah is seeking to hurt God's people. In fact, I've had that said about me not long ago, that I'm seeking to destroy the church. Brethren, that is not the truth. You know, I do not want the hurt of the people. I'm looking for the welfare of our people. I want to make sure that what we do is biblical, what is right, that our hearts are right, that our minds are right with God, and that we live, that we take care of ourselves, that we take care of our families, and that we praise the Lord no matter what situation we find ourselves in. Let's go to verse number 5. "Then Zedekiah the king said, behold, he is in your hand, For the king is not he that can do anything against you. So what we learn with Zedekiah is that he's a hopeless leader. Like he's got no strong convictions about anything, right? Because Zedekiah, in the previous chapter, we learned that he realizes that Jeremiah is a man of God. He wants to hear what Jeremiah has to say. And in fact, we'll look at the end of this chapter, once again, he's seeking what Jeremiah has to say. He knows Jeremiah is legit. He knows he's preaching God's word. And when Jeremiah was thrown into the dungeon, Zedekiah, you know, after hearing Jeremiah's plea to be released, he took him out of the dungeon and put him into the court of the prison. So King Zedekiah is somebody that is easily influenced. Now you have people that hate Jeremiah, that want to kill Jeremiah, and now the king's hearkening to the request of the princes. Okay, so he's the kind of leader, and you wouldn't call him a leader, right? He's got an office, he's got a leadership, you know, he's a king. He's meant to be in charge, right? But he's the kind of guy that listens to everyone's opinion and just goes with, you know, is tossed to and fro, basically, with whatever somebody has to say. Now, I do believe it is important for a leader to listen to other opinions. I do believe it is important for a leader to hear from those that are under him, under his authority. Okay, but at the end of the day, it's the king's decision. It is whoever is in charge decision to make the decisions, right? For his people, for those that he's over, right? And this guy takes the view, well, you know, there's nothing that I can say to you. Yeah, you can have Jeremiah. You know, you can do whatever you want to Jeremiah. He is in your hands, okay? So this king, you know, he's hopeless. He's a hopeless leader. Now, let's keep going. Verse number 6. Then they took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamelech, that was in the court of the prison, and they let down Jeremiah with cords, and in the dungeon there was no water but mire, so Jeremiah sunk in the mire. So what is mire? Mire is basically a muddy and boggy ground, right? So, you know, the picture that I get here is kind of like a well, or it's some type of cistern that was containing water, and this is their dungeon underneath the prison, right? So obviously that place is normally filled up with water, but don't forget there's a period of famine in the land, so I assume that means there hasn't been a lot of rain, right, to take care of the farming and all that kind of stuff. Again, it's the hand of God judging the nation. And because there's been no water, there's been no rain, the mud, you know, there's no water there, and the place is just muddy, it's filthy. And that's where they lower Jeremiah, into that dungeon, right? Into that boggy, muddy ground, right? And, you know, you think about where Jeremiah is being placed. I mean, the fact that he sinks into the mire, right? I mean, part of his legs are caught in there and he can't get out sort of situation. But, you know, not only is it a place that has no water, it is obviously a very cold, very damp kind of place where you can easily get sick. All right, and I kind of think about a situation like that, environment like that. I can kind of imagine like insects, you know, like mosquitoes, you know, basically breeding in that place. Insects tend to like that kind of muddy, damp, right, boggy kind of ground to reproduce, to have like a breeding ground. So this is not an enjoyable place at all, right? I mean, Jeremiah is definitely locked down. I mean, literally locked down, right? He's sinking into the mire, can't get out of that place. So they do this because they want to kill Jeremiah. We'll find out later that they're not just placing him temporarily. They want him to die there, okay? Let's keep going. Verse number 7. Now when Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs, was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, "My lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is like to die for hunger," there it is, "in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city." Now this man, Ebed-Melech, he's an Ethiopian eunuch. He's not even one of the, you know, chosen people of God, as it were, right? He's someone that has come to the nation, and you can see he loves Jeremiah. He sees Jeremiah in a bad place. So this tells me that Ebed-Melech is a man who is a believer. You know, he realizes that Jeremiah is a true prophet. This is not right what has been done to him. And he seeks to deliver Jeremiah from this certain death. Now, this is a name that I want you to remember, especially as we go into next week, into chapter 39. Ebed-Melech, the Lord recognizes what he does for Jeremiah and he takes care of this man, okay? So just remember this man. And I think it's great that you have a man, you know, a Gentile as it were, you know, looking after God's man. And you know, I've been preaching about how, you know, about the Jews. One of my sermons not long ago was about Jews, the God's chosen people. Well, you have an Ethiopian here, right? He's not a child of Abraham physically, but he's a child of Abraham spiritually. You know, he realizes that this is a man of God. Again, this just reinforces that Israel or Judah at this point in time, they were just mixed with all kinds of people. Anybody that sought to worship the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were welcome into the land, and they became part of the people of that land. Okay? Now let's keep going. Verse number 10. Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, take from hence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die. So once again, now we have Ebed-Melech, right? He gets an opportunity to talk to the king, and now the king is convinced that Ebed-Melech is correct. All right, Ebed-Melech, take 30 men with you and get Jeremiah out of that dungeon. Once again, a very poor leader. Now, he's doing the right thing, finally, getting Jeremiah out of there, but I'm trying to show you that this is the kind of guy that gets, you know, he makes one decision, he makes the next decision. He's never consistent. He doesn't know who to side with. He doesn't know whether to side with godly people or the wicked that are trying to hurt God's people. They don't know. They're tossed to and fro, right? This is King Zedekiah. And, you know, I want to talk to the fathers right now. You have authority in your home, okay? You are accountable to God for your family. And please, you know, remember, you know, to do what is right, to stand by God's word, lead your family by God's word, do what is right. Of course, hear the requests of your wife. Listen to the concerns of your children. But at the end of the day, it's your decision, fathers. You can't turn around and blame your wives. You can't blame your kids. You're in charge. Don't be like King Zedekiah that he's being tossed to and fro. He listens to one group, listens to another group, and he just, you know, goes with whatever the people are saying. This man will never be able to be an effective leader, okay? This guy has no clue what to do in his leadership position. But thankfully, he listens, you know, to Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, and commands for Jeremiah to be taken out of lockdown, right? So let's keep going. Verse number 11. So Ebed-Melech took the men with him. By the way, that was 30 men. So they needed 30 men to get Jeremiah out of this dungeon. Okay, this is not an easy place to get out of, all right? Verse 11 once again. So Ebed-Melech took the men with him and went into the house of the king under the treasury and took thence old cast clouts and old rotten rags and let them down by cords into the dungeon to Jeremiah. So this is what's interesting about this dungeon. They lowered Jeremiah there, okay, but they had no way to pull him out. Well, they had to find rags and cloths and whatever and create a makeshift rope out of that, right, with the 30 men to be able to pull. I mean, Jeremiah must be pretty deep, right, in order for them to have to do something like this. And so they create these cords for Jeremiah. Verse number 12. And Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, said unto Jeremiah, put now these old cast clouts and rotten rags under thine armpits, under the cords, and Jeremiah did so. So we can see the kind of situation. We don't know exactly how long Jeremiah was in the dungeon here, but, you know, when they lower these cords to him, he's not able to climb out. Like, I assume he's been there for a while now, and he's weak. Right, he's you know, hungry. Right, he doesn't have the strength to hold on to that rope and climb, you know, get himself out of there. Partly also he's stuck in the mire as well. And so what they decide to do is just put those things under his armpits, the rope, you know, the cords under his armpits, and they will just essentially pull him out of the dungeon. So they need 30 men to accomplish this task. Okay, verse number 13. So they drew up Jeremiah with cords and took him up out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. So he comes out of lockdown, and now he's under restrictions, basically, right? He's got more freedoms. He's in the courtyard. He's able to get, you know, move around, but he's still restricted in the prison. You know, and I want you to think about this situation of Jeremiah, because we're coming to the end, right? The Babylonians are about to destroy all the city. And this is what God allows his prophet to suffer. You know, that he allows these prophets to be in the dungeon, in the prison of the courthouse, you know, right at the end. I mean, Jeremiah has been faithfully serving God for how many years, right? For several, you know, kingly reigns. And, you know, you may look at this passage and go, man, how is it that God allows his faithful man who's preaching faithfully without compromise to suffer such fate? How does God allow his people to be put under lockdown or restrictions? Well, you find out later that being in this place actually protected him from the Babylonians destroying and killing everybody, Okay, I mean, the fact that he's in prison actually kept him safe. So again, Jeremiah probably doesn't even realize this, okay? He's in a tough situation, but brethren, all things work together for good, okay? For God's people, for those that love him, for those that are called according to his purpose. And we need to remember that as frustrated we might be with lockdown, all right, whatever, hey, you know what? God means it for our good. And we just need to be patient and learn what good it is that God wants us to learn or to gain from this experience, okay? And I think for many of us, it's just patience. For many of us, it's to stop listening to our flesh, stop listening to our pride, and start listening to God's word and say, hey, in the future, when I start seeing situations like this, instead of being worked up and emotional, I'm going to turn to God's word and say, well, God, how do you want me to handle this situation? I mean, we don't know. You know, God is working in our lives. And I've said it many times. I'm so thankful for COVID. I'm so thankful for the restrictions because I've just learned to love this world less. I've learned to seek God more. I've learned to turn to God's word more to see how should I respond as a Christian, find parallels in the Bible of situations like that we're in, and use that as the basis to live out our life. And I find myself to be a lot more happier than I was when we first went into lockdown, right? A lot more happier than I was when we first started facing COVID, you know, restrictions and all these kinds of things. So we have God's word for a purpose, you know. It's to guide us in every day of our life. So again, Jeremiah is in a bad place, but God means well for Jeremiah. Now, what verse am I up to? Verse number 14. Then, okay, so Jeremiah's taken out of lockdown, is put, you know, into the court of the prison, so he's under restrictions now. And then it says, then Zedekiah the king sent and took Jeremiah the prophet unto him into the third entry that is in the house of the Lord. So now he's released. He's got a bit of freedom, right? Things are very inconsistent for Jeremiah. It says here, and the king said unto Jeremiah, I will ask thee a thing, hide nothing from me. Okay, so once again, King Zedekiah just wants to secretly get information from Jeremiah. We remember in the last chapter, he asked for Jeremiah for a secret message. Jeremiah once again said, well, God, you know, the king of Babylon, you're going to be given into the hand of the king of Babylon. The king of Babylon is going to destroy this place. And that wasn't popular preaching, again, for Zedekiah. Zedekiah's hoping, I think, he's asking again, you know, what else? You know, hide nothing from me. I guess he's hoping that Jeremiah has a new message. I guess he's hoping that Jeremiah will say, well, God's changed his mind now. And, you know, the Babylonians, they're going to be defeated. We're going to stay in the land. We're not going to be taken into captivity. You're not going to be given into the hands of King Nebuchadnezzar, king, right? I mean, that's probably what King Zedekiah is hoping for. The fact that he's asking once again, Jeremiah, can you tell me what God has to say? Okay. And so he's hoping something different from God's word. Now, brethren, God's word does not change. It will never change. And actually, that's a great thing. Okay. You know, so there are people that just hope that God's word will change. Right? But that's not the situation. It will remain the same. We have God's word right here. It's not going to change for all eternity. Okay. Get used to it. All right. What you've learned from God's word, be established, be grounded in what God has to say. And it doesn't matter what situation you find yourself in life. Don't be thinking, well, maybe I'll open God's word again and maybe it'll say the opposite of what, you know, what I heard last time because I didn't like what I heard last time. It's not going to change, okay? It's not going to change. You know, we're still commanded to be submissive to our authorities. That's not going to change. I'm not sorry to tell you, okay? But that's what God's word, you know, that's what God's word is, you know, and you got to learn to accept it. Verse number 15. Then Jeremiah said unto Zedekiah, if I declare it unto thee, will thou not surely put me to death? And if I give thee counsel, will thou not hearken unto me? Okay? So Jeremiah knows, look, I'm just going to give you the same message, Zedekiah. Aren't you going to kill me? Aren't you going to put me to death if I just tell you once again that you're done for? That this kingdom is done for? That you're going to be taken into the hand of the Babylonians? Aren't you going to kill me now? Right? I mean, Jeremiah obviously realizes that this king does not like what Jeremiah has to preach. All right? So definitely nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. And the first time he offended Zedekiah, again, he was thrown into the courthouse. Now he's released temporarily once again. Okay. The second time, you know, King Zedekiah throws him into the dungeon, right? So the first time, he's just thrown into prison, into the dungeon. Oh, sorry. He's thrown into the dungeon, right? But he's taken care of. The second time, King Zedekiah gives Jeremiah to the hands of these princes that seek to kill him. And now Jeremiah's, well, now you're going to kill me. Are you going to finish the job, King Zedekiah? You're finally going to kill me for what I have to say. And if you can just keep your finger there And go to Psalm 33 for me, please. Go to Psalm 33. Psalm 33. King Zedekiah is hoping that God will change. King Zedekiah is hoping that God's word will change. It'll never change. You know what? This church is going to remain faithful to God's word. We're going to remain faithful to preaching God's word, no matter how popular or unpopular it is. I know our society changes. And you know what? Society wants God's church, God's people to change with society. It's not going to happen, right? If you want a changing church, well, there's plenty of them out there. Okay, they're constantly changing. We're not going to change. I'm not saying that we may change the way we do services or run things. What I'm saying is we're not going to change to preach, you know, God's word without compromise. We're going to stand on God's word, whether it's me as a preacher or it's someone else as a preaching. You know, we're going to preach God's word, and it's not going to change. You know, maybe you've heard a sermon that you didn't like. Maybe you heard preaching against a sin that you enjoyed that you didn't like. Well, you know what? When you hear that sermon once again, it's not going to change. When you open God's word once again, it ain't going to change. Okay, you're turning to Psalm 33. I'm going to read to you from Malachi 3:6 while you turn to Psalm 33. But Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." Okay? "For I am the Lord, I change not." God is not going to change. Our world changes, right? You change. You're growing. You know, you have new thoughts and new ideas, right? I'm watching my kids grow. They're changing, right? The world changes, but God will never change. And if God does not change, then neither will His word. You're in Psalm 33. Look at verse number 11. Psalm 33, verse number 11. The Bible says, "The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations." So you know what? If you're the very first generation, Adam and Eve, right? Or the very last generation before God destroys this earth, God's word will stand forever. All generations will hear the, you know, God's preaching. All generations will be able to experience God's word, and it will never change. It stands forever. Praise God. You know, you can't turn around and say, "Well, Pastor Kevin, we're in 2021, you know? Things have changed. We've got to accept the homosexuals. We've got to accept LGBT. Right? Our nation has been aborting babies for how many decades now? We need to just accept it now. Just stop preaching against that stuff." No. God's word does not change. It stands forever. It's good for all generations. You know, the preaching that we hear today is good enough for our children. And it's good enough for our children's children. God's church should not change. God's word will never change. It stands forever. And you know what? That might seem like a negative, but really it's so positive. You know, it's great to be able to stand firm, know what is right and wrong, know what is sinful, know what it is to please the Lord, and things never change, things remain consistent. That's wonderful when it comes to God. You know, when things are constantly changing, like our restrictions, constantly, you know, are we allowed to meet here? How many people can we have? Do we need to wear the mask? You know, that's frustrating, isn't it? I love a God that does not frustrate us more than we need to. God's word does not change. He does not change. And He allows us to know exactly how He feels or what He believes about certain things, right? I mean, our God is just. Our God is perfect, right? He is always right. You know, whatever God has to say in His word, He is always right. And that right will never change. Praise God. Go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse number 89. Psalm 119 and verse number 89. Verse number 89 reads, "Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven." Again, "Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven." So, brethren, we know about the modern English translations. We know the attempt that the devil is doing to destroy God's word. And listen, in the English language, we've got the King James Bible, the perfect word of God. You know what? People are trying to take the King James Bible out of your hands and give you some modern corrupted translations, right? Satan is constantly trying to destroy God's word, all right? And again, I don't know, we may face a day where people try to remove your Bibles. It might become illegal one day to have a Bible, right, in your home and to read God's word, to preach certain things. That might happen. But listen, no matter what happens on this earth, one thing we learn here is God's word is settled in heaven. So it's not going to change. No matter how much people try to change God's word on this earth, it's still fixed, it's established in heaven. And it is God's job to preserve His word. God's people will always have, you know, His word available to us, you know, which is wonderful once again. You know, we can't, you know, we cannot think, or it'll never happen. where God's word will be completely removed from this earth. And that's a great blessing. Back to Jeremiah, please. Jeremiah 38, please, and verse number 16. Jeremiah 38 and verse number 16. So Zedekiah the king swears secretly unto Jeremiah, saying, as the Lord liveth that made us this soul, I will not put thee to death, neither will I give thee into the hand of these men that seek thy life. So once again, the king being tossed around, right? First, he did give Jeremiah to the hand of those that seek his life. And now he's saying, well, Jeremiah, no, now I won't. Okay. Verse number 17. Then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if thou wilt assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and thou shalt live, and thine house. So what happened? God's word did not change. Okay? What is Jeremiah telling King Zedekiah to do? He's saying, look, surrender. Surrender to the new power in the land. Be submissive to the Babylonians. Be submissive to King Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, but King Nebuchadnezzar is infringing on the rights of the Jews. He's infringing on the constitution of Israel. Who cares? Piece of paper, King Nebuchadnezzar doesn't care. God doesn't care. It's time for these people to be judged. Okay? And he's using a wicked government to judge his people. Okay? What's the message? Go and fight. Fight for your right. No, that's not the message from Jeremiah. Surrender and all things will be well. Things will be well with you. You'll be able to live. And if you surrender, king, because you're in charge of the city, you've got authority, then the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, they won't even burn this place down. They won't burn down the city. They won't burn down God's house if you just surrender. If you just be submissive to the authorities that God has set up. Again, not popular preaching. Probably, again, don't like the preaching this morning. Hey, can't help it. God's word doesn't change. Amen. Okay. Verse number 18. But if thou wilt not go, so if you don't do it, King Zedekiah, if thou wilt not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then shall this city be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand. So if he's not submissive, he doesn't surrender to the Babylonians, it's going to end badly for him and badly for the entire city. Verse number 19. And Zedekiah the king said unto Jeremiah, look what he says. I am afraid of the Jews that have fallen to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand and they mock me. So Zedekiah, you know, he kind of wants to do what Jeremiah is telling him to do. He kind of wants to surrender, but he goes, I'm too afraid to do it. You know, I'm going to be mocked. People are going to laugh at me. They're going to mock at me. Okay? I mean, far out, right? You know, who cares? Just do what is right, Zedekiah. And for those of you that are listening, you know what? If God's word says to do something, just do what is right. Who cares who mocks you? Boy, you know, we're not in primary school anymore, right? We're not little children. Well, actually, there are little children in our church. But even our little children in our church need to learn that, you know what? It doesn't matter. They're friends. This world is going to mock them. Okay? Who cares? What's more important is that we do what is right. What God's word says, we do it. Who cares what other people have to say? Who cares who mocks us? As long as we're doing what God commands of us, then God's going to take care of us. Now, who is he actually afraid of, though? Okay? So, again, and what kind of leader is this? To care what people have to say. You know what? The leader has to just take command of a situation, do what is right. It doesn't matter what other people have to say. Okay? It is about doing what is right in God's eyes. Now, who is he afraid of? Okay, so we saw he's afraid of the Jews, but what Jews? Okay? Well, notice again that these Jews are fallen to the Chaldeans. Okay? So these are Jews that have listened to Jeremiah. Okay? Remember, Jeremiah is preaching to the entire nation. He's telling the entire people, go and surrender. Give yourself to the Chaldeans. Okay? And so these are people that actually have heard what Jeremiah had to say, whether they liked it or not, you know, who knows? They probably didn't like it, but they listened to Jeremiah. They know he's a prophet of God. They know they're doing what God has to say, so they surrender to the Chaldeans, right? And then you got King Zedekiah on the other hand saying, no, we've got to fight for our rights. We've got to fight for our freedom, right? And so they do what Jeremiah says, surrender, rather than listening to what the king has to say. Now, King Zedekiah is afraid that if he surrenders, that the same Jews that listened to Jeremiah, those Jews will mock King Zedekiah. Okay? So they'll be like, so he thinks they're going to be like, ah, so, you know, this whole time, you know, you've been saying, hey, let's resist. This whole time you've been saying, let's fight this foreign power. And now you're giving in. Now you're submitting yourselves. Okay, that's what he's afraid of. They're afraid that they're going to mock him. But listen, that's not reality. You know what? If you're wrong about something and you get right about it, those that were right about it to begin with, they're not going to mock you. They're going to be happy. They're going to be pleased. Hey, welcome on board, King Zedekiah. Thank God you made a change, right? Thank God you changed your mind. Thank God you listened to Jeremiah like the rest of us. Praise God for you. That's going to be the right response. They're not going to mock King Zedekiah, but that's what he's afraid of. He's afraid, what are people going to think about me? Well, we already know what we think. Well, for all eternity, we all know that he's a weak leader now. Okay, so, you know, the things that he was most afraid of comes true even today. You know, we look at King Zedekiah and we realize we're kind of mocking him, aren't we? About his weak leadership, that he can't make solid decisions. You know, he doesn't do God's word. You know, he's more afraid of what people have to say about him. Let's keep going. Verse number 20. But Jeremiah said, they shall not deliver thee. Obey, I beseech you. So those people that you're afraid of that are going to mock you and deliver you, okay, they're not going to do it, right? They shall not deliver thee. Obey, I beseech thee. Okay? Obey, he says. Obey God's word. And brethren, I beseech you the same thing. Obey. You know, obey the authorities that are over you. As long as they're not asking you to commit a sin, all right? Again, what is sin? It's the transgressions of the law. Sin is not just your opinion. I'm inconvenienced. I'm uncomfortable. That is not sin. Sin is the transgression of the law, okay? The Bible says here, obey, I beseech thee, the voice of the Lord, which I speak unto thee. Look at this. So it shall be well with thee, and thy soul shall live. King Zedekiah, if you just submit to this new power, it's going to be well with you, okay? It's not going to be bad. It's going to be good for you. It'll go well for you. You know, God's going to look down, see your obedience. He's going to bless you. He's going to take care of you, take care of your family, take care of your kingdom while you're in captivity, right? Things will turn out well. And I'm sure, you know, if Zedekiah just listened to God's word, that when we read Jeremiah now, it would be very different. I'm sure Zedekiah would be seen in a more positive, well, in a positive light, rather than being seen the way he is, you know, in God's word. Look at verse number 21. But if thou refuse to go forth, this is the word the Lord hath showed me. And behold, all the women that are left in the king of Judah's house shall be brought forth to the king of Babylon's princes. And those women shall say, thy friends have set thee on and have prevailed against thee. Thy feet are sunk in the mire, and they are turned away back. So God uses the illustration of Jeremiah being thrown into the dungeon and into the mire. Well, he's saying to King Zedekiah that if you don't obey God's word, that you are going to be, you know, figuratively speaking, thrown into the mire as well. You're going to be stuck. You're going to be in a cold, damp place that you can't get out of if you don't obey God's word. And listen, if he doesn't obey God's word, basically the women that are in the king's house, so I assume that's his wife or maybe concubines. I don't know what kind of, you know, maybe it's the servants. Maybe it's, you know, women that, you know, have high status in Jerusalem. That these women, by his disobedience, they're going to be given to other men, okay? Otherwise, if he obeys, again, things will go well. You know, they'll be taken care of. They'll be looked after. But if he doesn't obey, not only does he hurt himself, he hurts those people that are under his authority, okay? And not only that, but these women, what are they going to say? They're going to, it says there in verse number 22, those women shall say, thy friends have set thee on and have prevailed against thee. Okay? So instead of Zedekiah, well, you know, Zedekiah is afraid of what the Jews are going to say, those that are taken into captivity already. What are they going to say about me if I surrender? Well, if you don't surrender, the women of your own household are going to be the ones mocking you. They're the ones that are going to say, hey, he's been defeated. He's been, you know, they prevailed against him. So, you know, what Jeremiah is basically saying is this. You're afraid of being mocked if you surrender, but if you don't surrender, you're definitely going to be mocked. In other words, you know what? It doesn't matter who mocks you once again. It doesn't matter who makes fun of you. It doesn't matter who makes fun of your Christianity, your love for God, your love for God's word. It doesn't matter. Just do what is right. And you do what is right, things will be taken care of, you know, for you. Things will be well with you. And brethren, you know, this whole time since COVID, you know, restrictions, and I appreciate the feedback that I get. I love listening to other opinions, but I know people think that I'm doing wrong. Like, I know people think that I shouldn't be, you know, agreeing to lockdown. I know people don't think that I should be allowing masks and things like that. But you know what? I don't care what people have to say. I don't care if people mock me. I don't care. Because for me as a pastor, I have to do what is right. I have to do what is right according to God's word. All right? It's not about looking, well, that other pastor is doing it like this, or this other church is doing it like that. That doesn't play, you know, a part. What plays a part is what God's word has to say, all right, and establishing ourselves upon his word, which never changes, and say, God, what can you teach us? How is it that I need to behave in 2021 in this current situation? It's not about what I believe about the virus. A lot of people think that you're compliant because you believe the virus is this legit thing. I don't know. I don't care about the virus. It's not about the virus, okay? I don't care about it whatsoever, all right? I care about what is it, God, that you want us to do? What powers have you set up? What kings have you set up? God, are you judging this nation? And in you know, as you judge this nation, you're obviously going to affect God's people as well. But you know what, God? Show us in your word how we ought to behave. Show us how we ought to live. We've decided to go for Jeremiah. I believe God's placed that on my heart. And I'm doing the best I can to follow God's word with the parallels that we see in the book of Jeremiah. So I don't care what other people have to say. You know, if people get frustrated at me, well, at the end of the day, I know they're just getting frustrated at God's word. Okay? And, you know, again, God doesn't change. Okay? It's the same God of Jeremiah is the same God that teaches us here in 2021 at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Verse number 23. So they shall bring all thy wives and thy children to the Chaldeans, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand, but shalt be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon, and thou shalt cause this city to be burned with fire. Then said Zedekiah unto to Jeremiah, let no man know of these words, and thou shalt not die. Okay. Now he already promised Jeremiah that he's not going to kill him. But now he's saying, hey, don't tell anyone that you told me this, or I'm going to kill you. All right. Don't tell anyone, and I'll cause you to live. I'll let you live. Okay. So he doesn't want anybody to find out that King Zedekiah has secretly gone to Jeremiah. Okay. He doesn't want people to find out that he's going to God's word to find out what he has to do. You know, what a shame. This man is the king of Judah, right? He's meant to be the kind of man that listens to prophets. He ought to be the man that listens to God's word, but he's too ashamed, you know, that people may find out that he, you know, is seeking godly counsel. And, you know, again, this is just something you need to learn in life. You know, you may go to work and take your Bible with you. I've taken my Bible a few times to work, and in lunchtime, I've read my Bible, and people are saying, why are you reading that book, right? You know, I was in Christian school, and it was unpopular to take your Bible to Christian school and read it. People think you're just dorky, right? You know, who cares? You know, you don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to secretly do things. You know, you just be open, be honest, love God. And you know what? The more you do for the Lord, the more you show your love and zeal for the Lord, the more people are going to leave you alone. You know, like when you're all the way, you know, plugged into church, all the way plugged in to God's word and to prayer, you know what? People will generally say, well, you know what? At least this man lives by his convictions. At least this man lives in accordance to, you know, what the Bible says he ought to live. And people generally will leave you alone. But, you know, when you're timid and afraid, then you're, oh, man, I don't want people to find out this about me or that about me. You know, again, just a very weak leader that we see in King Zedekiah. Oh, the other funny thing is, he's saying, you know, he's doing it secretly. He doesn't want anyone to find out that he's gone to Jeremiah. Hey, but it's captured for all eternity now. Okay, well, you know, it's no secret, Zedekiah. We all know you went to Jeremiah seeking godly counsel, you know, so it didn't work out for you, Zedekiah. Let's keep going, verse number 25. But if the princes here that I have talked with thee, so these are the princes that were trying to kill Jeremiah, and they come unto thee and say unto thee, declare unto us now what thou hast said unto the king. Hide it not from us, and we will not put thee to death. Also what the king said unto thee. Then thou shalt say unto them, I presented my supplication before the king, that he would not cause me to return to Jonathan's house to die there. All right, so instead of dealing with the potential destruction of Jerusalem, instead of like being afraid of God's judgment, what is he afraid of? Oh, what are the princes going to say, right? What are these powerful men in my kingdom going to say if they find out I've gone to Jeremiah? So it tells Jeremiah, look, if they come and ask you what you asked of me and what I've responded with. Don't tell them about, you know, what God said about surrendering to the Babylonians. Don't tell them that. Just tell them that you've come and you've petitioned, you know, your release out of the dungeon, and that, you know, I've listened to your supplication, that I've listened to your request, okay? Now, obviously, this is not, he's not asking Jeremiah to tell a lie, outright lie. He's asked, basically telling Jeremiah, don't tell them the whole story, okay? Just tell them this bit where, you know, you're hoping to be released and that, you know, I've listened to your request, okay? So let's keep going, verse number 27. Now, we're near the end now of the chapter, and I want you to look at King Zedekiah and look at Jeremiah. Look at these two men. Look how different they are with the authorities that are over them, okay? Zedekiah is dealing with the authority, the new authorities, the new powers of Babylon. He doesn't want to surrender. He doesn't want to listen, okay? Then you have Jeremiah, who's under the authority of King Zedekiah, and King Zedekiah is basically telling him how he ought to respond. You know, don't tell them that I've come to you for godly counsel, okay? Now, so both of these men are under authority, okay? Jeremiah under Zedekiah, Zedekiah under Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldeans. And I want you to notice the difference in these two men. One wants to rebel, okay? How does Jeremiah respond to Zedekiah? Again, a wicked, lousy, hopeless king, poor leadership skills, right? No convictions, just a hopeless man. But how does Jeremiah respond to Zedekiah's request? Let's keep going. Verse number 27. Then came all the princes unto Jeremiah and asked him, and he told them, look at this, he told them, according to all these words that the king had commanded. So they left off speaking with him, for the matter was not perceived. So Jeremiah does exactly what his authority tells him to do. The wicked Zedekiah, you know, hopeless Zedekiah. What does Jeremiah do? He honors the king's request. All right, and he doesn't, the princes, you know, they don't perceive the matter. They don't realize, you know, they've left not thinking that Zedekiah came seeking godly counsel, okay? How does Jeremiah respond to a stupid, wicked, godless king? Okay, well, he honors the authority, okay? Which one do you want to be? Do you want to be Zedekiah, rebellious and stubborn, you know, unsure about what to do with life? Or do you want to be like Jeremiah? Well, this is the authority that's over me. I'm going to obey what they have to say, even though I don't like this guy very much. He's put me in prison. He's locked me down, right? He's put restrictions on me. Let's keep going. Verse number... Actually, no, before I read that, I want you to keep your finger there and go to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 10. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 10. So once again, Zedekiah is struggling to submit to the new power of the land. But Jeremiah has no problem submitting to wicked King Zedekiah. Okay, which one do you want to be? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 10. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 10 reads, but chiefly them, look at this, that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. So these are, you know, if you know about it, these are about wicked false prophets, okay? But these are people that walk after the flesh, all right? And it says here, look, and despise government. They despise government. Look at this. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. All right. So what do we notice here? Zedekiah is behaving like these false prophets in 2 Peter chapter 2, right? He walks after the flesh, all right? He despises government. He doesn't despise his own government. He despises the new government, right? He despises the new power. And again, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Brethren, I want you to remember, okay, it's very easy to speak evil of dignities. It is very easy to speak evil of our government, of our politicians, and I know many of them are wicked. King Zedekiah was wicked as well, okay? But how does Jeremiah respond? Is he someone that walks after the flesh? Is he someone that despises government? Is he someone that despises authority? Or is he someone that says, you know what, even though there's a wicked government over me, wicked King Zedekiah, I'm still going to honor his request. You know, again, which one are you, brethren? Which one are you? So go back to Jeremiah 38, please. Verse number 28. Jeremiah 38, please, last verse. Verse number 28. So Jeremiah abode in the court of the prison. So he's not in lockdown here, but he's restricted, right? He's restricted in the court of the prison. Look how long he's there for. Until the day that Jerusalem was taken, and he was there when Jerusalem was taken. So the Bible says he was in prison until Jerusalem was completely taken over by the Babylonians. That's where he remained until that time came. Okay, he remained in lockdown. He remained in restrictions. All right, every now and again he was let go to talk to Zedekiah. But brethren, in conclusion, this is like our lives. You know, I'm glad the Lord has given us this chapter to look at today. Okay, we're in lockdown for 2 weeks if you're from Sydney. Oh well, you know, maybe we're going to be here for a while. Who knows? It's a minimum of 2 weeks. It could be longer. All right. I can be frustrated because you know what? Next week, we're celebrating. We're supposed to be celebrating our 3-year anniversary at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I wanted to make it a day of festivities, a lot of fun. All right. And I can be frustrated about that. Or I can just say, well, God, this is the situation we find ourselves in. We're in lockdown. We'll wait. We'll postpone that for some other time. We'll postpone the anniversary some other time, the celebrations. Praise God. You know, whether we're in lockdown or whether we're free, you know what? Blessed be the name of the Lord. It doesn't matter. And you know what, God, whatever powers you've put over us, whatever powers you've put, as long as they're not asking us to commit some sin, Lord, I pray that you help us to be submissive and obedient to them. Help us to be like Jeremiah. That ought to be our hearts. That ought to be our desire. You know what? You don't have to be ashamed if you change your mind. If you're once rebellious and, oh, we're going to fight this. You know what? No, change your mind. No one's going to mock you. All right? They're going to be welcoming to you. Hey, welcome to the word of God. Welcome to the obedience that, you know, that God has asked us to live by. And so, brethren, again, how are you coping with the Sydney lockdown? We just started. How are you going to go this week? I don't know. You know? How are you going to deal with this for the next 2 weeks? Or longer, potentially? And again, it's your choice, brethren. You know, God gives us his word. It's up to you now. I've preached God's word. Maybe you aren't like me now. Maybe you think I'm unpopular. You know, it's unpopular. You don't like me anymore. Right? I don't know. I hope not. Hope you guys realize that I love you and I want the best for you. I'm looking after your welfare. You know, I want you to live. I want you to be blessed by God. I want you to be obedient. Okay? I want you to be, if you can't be obedient to the government, at least be obedient to your pastor at church and you know, the decisions that I make. And I know it's on me. I know I'm accountable to God for all of this. Okay? And, you know, God's going to hold you accountable with how you obey the authorities that are over your life. So again, once again, it's your choice, brethren. Are you going to respond like Zedekiah or will you respond like Jeremiah? Let's pray.